There's no doubt the ministry of Jesus radically changed things upon his appearance. This is foreshadowed or spoken about in these words when Jesus says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." The transition is further illustrated by these kinds of metaphors, the bridegroom being here and then gone, the new wine versus the old wine, the new piece of cloth versus the old piece of cloth. And that transition, of course, does not signal the tradition or the transition between traditional and contemporary music, does it? I'd like to switch metaphors for a second and to suggest another one, that of a wall being erected and, of course, a wall being broken down. Where the administration of God's grace is mediated, where there is this old covenant which erects walls in order to preserve the holiness of God and in order that God might himself come and dwell among people, but mediate. And now with the appearance of the bridegroom, that these kinds of things have changed, that in fact, with the appearance of Christ, God is in the flesh, directly face to face with his own people. Suddenly, he is able to reach out and call an unholy tax collector to become his apostle. Somehow now a dead girl is being raised in his presence. A sick woman is being healed, a blind and a mute man. They are all being restored back to wholeness once again. Let us dwell for a second upon what exactly we're talking about with this wall. Today we are commemorating St. Matthew, aren't we? And why is it that at the seminary, that the first time that anybody ever says St. Matthew or mentions Matthew's gospel, there's always one person that comes to mind? In honor of that one person, I really wanted badly to preach a good law gospel sermon. I think what drew him to Matthew and makes him love Matthew so much is actually to be found in this text today. "For I have not come to call the righteous, but," and there's no need to finish that sentence either. When I first met him as a young student in Springfield, I, of course, asked him a very stupid question, and I ran into the wall. That is to say, he looked at me, gave me a few short words, and then turned and walked away. I felt like the Syrophoenician woman. I have since come to realize that it was due to the fact that, unbeknownst to me, I was a pietist, and this was my just recompense for my sin. But I would imagine that most of you have found out that behind that wall is a man who actually came face to face with the real Jesus, and who, by his direct understanding of this Jesus through the gospel, has understood so well that through the gospel, God calls immediately sinners to this fellowship with God, and he heals and he cleanses, and even more importantly for you and for me, he now lifts us up. And because we now see this gospel face to face, we are called to follow him. In order to understand this ministry, let me suggest that our distinction might here be between the direct and the mediate. Not so much law and gospel, for at the risk of being heretical, we must always remember that they both entail each other. So it is sometimes very difficult to be able to make a clean distinction between law and gospel. The old cloth here, or the old way with the wall that we are speaking about, is a ministration of God's sacred things that erected barriers for the purpose of protecting God's word, God's sacraments. With walls that kept, in a sense, the unholy out, it thereby also protected what was sacred. And it still made access to God possible, even though it was indirect. But with the appearance of Christ, something has totally changed. He who would now pardon and forgive sins, stepped into the world himself, and he gave those who had been barricaded by that wall direct access so that they might obtain the forgiveness of sins directly from him. But the wall still remained for those who would be self-righteous, and the wall barricaded the self-righteous from him. This is the duality of the ministry to which you have been called. There's nothing that gives a pastor more joy or makes him realize the true nature of his calling than to be able to have a person who is broken, and sinful, and contrite, asking for, begging for the mercy of God that is given to them in Christ. I would well imagine that this is the reason for why it is that most of us love to preach at funerals rather than at weddings. When people are sinful and when they are broken, there is no law, there is no barricade, there is no wall, but just God's pure, sweet grace. And I could well imagine, too, that most of you have probably decided to go into the ministry because at some time in your life, your pastor gave you that kind of direct access. But to the self-righteous, to those who are taken with their own self-worth and their own self-righteousness, the wall still has to remain. For the heart, at the heart of all self-righteousness, is idolatry. And the idol cannot stand in the holy place. That is why pastors are loved and they are hated, and there isn't a lot in between. Why they also, I think, love and hate their profession at exactly the same time. Like Ezekiel, we have to be as hard-headed as the hard-hearted people that we so often face. And this is extremely painful. Jesus said it, "Be on your guard. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in the synagogues." Why? Because you cannot drop that wall until they realize that there is no access because of their own self-righteousness. There is nothing personal about the ministry when a person comes with their own self-pretentious piety. It probably says something about that whole Pastor Bob stuff, doesn't it? But there is no greater joy in life than to be able to hear those words, "Follow me." The privilege of being able to follow after a Savior without walls, who mercifully gives to us a direct access and fellowship with the living God through his real, present, and incarnate Son. Old cloth, new cloth, old wine, new wine, direct, immediate ministry. Distinguish between them and you will be a faithful laborer in the harvest and a true, but oftentimes rare, disciple of Christ. Amen.